around the world. Hi. Hi, everybody. Hi. Welcome to the city, Cross City. Love this place. Hope you do too. Turn all that stuff off. I heard some popping and some cracking. If you have your phones, I'd like to ask you to consider turning them off, or at least on silent. We had two ladies down here yesterday. I had a full conversation last night, and don't quite think they understand how smartphones work. But anyway, good to see you. We're having a great weekend, and last night was really phenomenal. And we're in a series, and I'm excited to be talking to you about this series of, we're calling it One Degree. And what we're talking about is the difference that one person really could make, not only in just one other person's life, but many lives. Just by one turn, just by one word, just by one, it doesn't take much. It's just really one degree. And the ripple effect, the domino effect goes on and on and on and on. And there are so many examples and so many of these things. And we're asking you, and by the way, our staff came in again this week on the stage. We divided up into two groups. One group was over here. One group was around this cross. And we're praying for these names. And if you're a guest here today, we ask people to write the names of people that they would like to see come to Christ. And these are the names that we're praying for. We're praying for one. And we've already had over 20 of these people we've been praying for have come to Christ. Last night, a lady, go ahead, give God a hand, not me. Last night, a lady said to me, after she was baptizing, a young girl was baptized, she said, she came up to me and said, "Do you know, that's the name I wrote down." And she said, and the interesting thing, there's actually a bunch of interesting things about the story I'm not going to get into, but she said, the interesting thing is, she came to me and said, "This is what I want to do." And I'm just telling you, we're excited to be in this, and I hope that you are following along and tracking. Years ago, I literally was walking on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus called his disciples, and I got up before sunrise with my Bible, and couldn't sleep. I have sleep issues anyway, and traveling overseas, it's actually even worse. But I got up, and I walked along the side of the Sea of Galilee, and later that day, we actually got on a boat that you can probably get about 130 people on that boat, and we had at least 100 on that boat, and we were on the Sea of Galilee where Jesus was. We saw other boats going out to fish, and we actually toured a little place before we went out on that boat. This is a boat they unearthed. They literally unearthed in the Sea of Galilee, and I think you can kind of see that. It looks like the makings of one of those fishing boats that we can kind of picture in our mind. But I was reminded that day as we were out on there and had a devotion and singing songs and all of that, that this story of Jesus just isn't some story. It's not some myth. It's a real story about real people and about how Jesus changed their lives. It's real. That's one of the beauties of going over there, by the way. Mark chapter 1, verse 14, John's in prison, and the Bible says that Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news. Everybody say good news. The good news of God. He said, the time has come. We're ready. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Everybody say good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, that's where I was walking, by the way. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw some folks. He saw Simon, and he saw his brother Andy, and they were fishing. And he said to them, "Hey guys, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and followed him. He'd gone a little farther. He saw James and his brother John, another brother, set of brothers fishing, and he did the same to them. Listen, Jesus didn't say, follow a bunch of rules. Jesus said, follow me. I said a week or so ago that, you know, religion complicates things. It always does. But relationships simplify things. And Christianity isn't a bunch of rules. It isn't a bunch of regulations, as so many people think. It's not a group of rituals that we adhere to. It's simply following Jesus Christ. Salvation is not a set of creeds. It's not a bunch of beliefs. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. Salvation is not getting baptized in the creek. You may be surprised to hear me say that. Salvation isn't getting baptized out there in the courtyard, which we did about four or five last night and hope to do the same today. Salvation isn't getting baptized up here in our, I don't know what you call that. It looks like a puppet show venue up there. I love baptism, and Jesus said everybody should be baptized. He said, go into the world and baptize every single person. You know I love baptism. But the point is, if you have that relationship with Jesus Christ and you've made that decision that you are actually going to follow Jesus Christ, then baptism is nothing. It's just cupcake. It's the icing on the cupcake. Literally, it's the easiest thing you could ever do to follow Jesus. The baptism doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. Baptism is just obedience. Baptism is just a signal that you really do believe in Him. You really are making a decision. You're not going to let a little bit of water get in the way of you and following Jesus. Jesus came, the Bible says, to seek and to save the lost. One day He was talking and He said to His fellows there, who are people saying that I am? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he didn't even really know what he was saying, because Jesus said to him afterwards, well, you didn't come up with that. God had to reveal that to you. And He said, who do you guys say that I am? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you're right. And on that rock, on that bedrock, that foundation, I'm going to build my church. He's saying those people who believe in that I actually am who I claim to be, that I am the Son of God, the sent one, the Messiah, those who believe that, well, if you believe that, you're going to follow Him. That's the obvious next step. You wouldn't believe that He's God in the flesh and go, I really don't want to follow you. Hey, good job, though. Those that believe that and profess that, I'm going to build my church with those kinds of people, and that's why we ought to be in church, and that's why we ought to be looking for people, reaching them. That's what the Lord's trying to do before the end of the world, before it all comes crashing down, before we go slip into eternity. He wants to get as many people as He can into heaven. That's why He's always saying, go get them, go reach them, go save them. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. You don't get mad at this, but He didn't come to heal. He did a lot of healing, and He can still heal. That's not why He came. If that's why He came, He would have founded a hospital. He didn't come to teach. He's the world's greatest teacher. He taught a lot. He's still teaching, but He didn't come to teach. If He came to teach, He would have founded some sort of school, some sort of university, maybe even a preschool. That's not why He came. He came to seek and to save the lost, and that's why He founded what we call the church. That's why He died. Listen, we're not talking about the building. We're talking about the people. But He came to die for the church, for you and for me. That's what He came to establish. That's what He came to found, the church. He came to begin the church. Why would He pay such a price? Because it's only those in the church who are going to spend eternity with Him. That's why you ought to be here even when you don't feel like it. That's why you ought to try to find people who aren't in the church and get them in while there's time. He said, come follow me. Come follow me. Well, why will we follow you? Well, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Fishers of men means bringing people to Jesus. I got to wondering, you know why He asked Peter and John and the rest of them to be fishers of men? Because they were already fishermen. They knew how to catch fish. When He called old Matthew, who was a tax collector of all things, He didn't say, hey, Matthew, would you be a fisher of men? But I'll tell you that Matthew began to fish very soon for men. When Matthew came to Christ, he hosted a dinner for some of his tax collecting cronies, and he shared Jesus, he shared the gospel with them. And so in his own way, he was fishing for men. You say, what are you talking about? You're losing me a little bit. I'm trying to say that he called these fishermen to be fishers of men because that's what they did. And I'm trying to say, whatever you do and whatever you know and whatever you're about and whatever relationships you're involved in, the Lord is calling you to use all of that knowledge, all of that influence, all of those connections to reach people and bring people into relationship with him. I mean, if you were an investment advisor, he might say, follow me, and you can tell people about the best eternal investment they'll ever make. If you're a teacher, and we've got plenty, he might say, hey, follow me, and you will teach folks eternal truth. If you're a CPA, he might say, follow me, and I will show you how to help people balance their life. If you're a doctor, he might say, follow me, and you can show people true spiritual healing. If you're in sales, he might say, follow me, and you've got the world's greatest product to give to people. If you're a builder, he might say, follow me, and I will show you how to build stable lives. If you're a dentist, I don't know, maybe he'd say, follow me, and you can fill the void in people's lives. I really don't know what he'd say to a dentist. What do you do? What do you know? If he were here today, he would say to you, and just think about it, follow me, and then you fill in the blank. What's the application to what you do and what you know? And how you would bring people into a little bit more knowledge of the amazing love and grace of Jesus Christ. He's talking to fishermen. He gives them some advice. I'm going to give you some advice. And this will apply. If you're not a fisherman, it will still apply to whatever you do. Number one, good fishermen go where the fish are. I saw this picture about a guy who was fishing out in front of his house. There was a flood, evidently, and there was a big pothole, and he just picked the wrong place to fish. That's not where the fish are. You're never going to catch fish until you're willing to leave your house and go where the fish are. You say, where are the fish? They're in the water. Not that water, but they're in the water. You got to be willing to get off the street. You got to be willing to leave the house. I've been golfing with guys. They love fishing so much, they'll stop at a, you know, between holes or something, and there's a little creek or something, you know, and they'll get into their golf bag, and they'll get this little miniature rod and reel, and then they'll expand it, and they'll cast it in there. And I mean, they just want to do one cast before we get to the next hole. I've seen them catch fish before, you know. So it's really bizarre. I mean, you decided, you know, you woke up and said, I'm going to go golfing, and then I turn around and you're fishing. These are really people with some sort of personality disorders, these guys. I know a bunch of them. Are we golfing or fishing? You never see a guy that's fishing stand up in a boat and pull out a 9-iron and go, watch this, I want to see how far I can hit this lure out in the lake. It's 5 yards. The truth is, guys just love to fish. And they pass the water, they think, hey, I can't pass this up. And they're narcissistic, they don't care about the other three, but they just want to fish. It's too good of an opportunity. They're not going to let it go. They don't care that you're going down the next fair. They're interested in the fish. The fish are in the water. You're not going to get fish unless you go to the water. People aren't out there knocking down the doors of the church. Did you notice? We advertise, we beg you to beg people, invite people, and blur. I mean, no one's out there going, hey, let me in. I got to get into the church. We really love this place. We can't get in. What are the hours again? We were all confused. That's not what they do. You got to go get them. They're not going to magically show up. Even though we got a great location, they don't magically show up. Jesus said, you want to follow me? Go fish for men. I will make you go fish for men. That's why somebody said you cannot spell God without the word go. You cannot spell the word good news without the word go. And I cleverly came up with you can't spell golf without go either, but that's just me. Jesus, in Luke chapter 14, he was comparing heaven, the kingdom of God, the church, to a man who threw a big party. And all these invitations were sent out, all these important people, all the VIPs, they were invited to this big party. But most of them, if not all of them, came up with excuses why they couldn't show up to the big party. And Jesus said there, I'm not sure the verse, 23, I think, the master told the servant, well, if they're not going to show up, then why don't you go out into the roads and the country lanes and notice this word, compel them to come in so that my house will be full. And he's talking about, by my house, he's talking about the kingdom, the household of faith. And I think it applies to the church, but he's talking about the household of faith. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are not yet a part of the family of God, just in Fresno alone. Just in Fresno alone. And the Lord is saying, hey, follow me and I will help you go get them. Max Lucado wrote, Jesus wasn't crucified in a church building over a baptistry between an organ and a piano in front of a bunch of coats and ties. He was crucified on a cruel cross between two hardened criminals. He wasn't crucified in a nice neighborhood, but at the crossroads of the world, so cosmopolitan that its crime had to be written in three languages. He died at a place where thieves cursed and soldiers gambled. And he said, that's where we need to take the gospel. You got to go where the fish are. Number two, you got to understand how the fish behave. I showed this, and I think I've done it before. I'm not sure. This is one of the early episodes, if not the first episode, of Andy Griffith's show. And I love that show. I've seen every episode about, I don't know, maybe 100 times. I like Andy, but I love Barney. Barney is my guy. A lot of people think I'm a dead ringer for Barney, which was a little disheartening. But the context here, you may not know it, but they're bringing Aunt Bee in to see if she can get along with Opie. Andy wants Aunt Bee and Opie to get along, and if so, he's going to invite. Aunt B to come live with them, which you know that for the rest of the series that works, but this is scene one, so watch. Well, it's obvious Aunt Bee didn't quite know how the fish act. And if we're going to reach people for Christ, we've got to understand the world. And some of you understand it really well, and others of you not so much. If we're going to reach people for Christ, we should actually study the culture. I mean, without buying into it, we should study the culture. It's a fine line, but that's what we ought to do as believers. Now, I got to tell you, you don't have to become a fish to know how a fish behaves. You don't have to become a lost person to understand a lost person. I think what Jesus is saying is, if you're a fisherman, I'll make you fishers of men, meaning you should use everything within your power and your ability and your influence to intentionally become connected friends with people who do not follow Jesus. You're not going to reach them if you do not befriend them. We've talked many times about random acts of kindness, and some people think that's the end, that's the whole point. That's not the point of random acts of kindness. Everybody should be kind and gracious. We should be kind and gracious because we're trying to connect. And we're trying to connect so we might have some influence, so we might be able to make one cast and get somebody to bite and follow the Lord Jesus Christ and spend eternity in heaven instead of you know where. Sad truth is, the longer a person follows Jesus Christ, the fewer friends they have who need Jesus. That's the norm. We want to hang out with other Christians. The Bible said of Jesus, this was big. It wasn't just a line. It said that he was a friend of sinners. I'm just telling you, in that context, it was shocking. He spent time eating with and fellowshipping with people who didn't love God at all. And that's why he was so criticized. He was eating with sinners. And he responded to those Pharisees, "It's only the sick people who really need a doctor." And they didn't get it. But what he was really was saying to those Pharisees, "You're sick too." But they would never admit it. They would never get to that point. They didn't believe that they were not perfect. They thought something was wrong with this guy because he would meet and eat and fellowship with people who didn't follow God. Friend, we are the people of the light, and we are trying to take that light to the people of the world who are living in darkness. And it is not going to accidentally happen. It can only happen with intent, with purpose, with determination. And as we've been saying through this series, as we pray. See, I don't feel bold enough to go do that. Preacher, you're asking the wrong. I'm barely in here myself. Okay, maybe you can't do all of that. But you can pray. You can pray for God to help you. And you can pray for that one person who doesn't know Jesus Christ. And you can say, "Lord, please send somebody my way that I can share your love with today." You can do that. It's not politically correct to talk about hell today. Oh, you can talk about heaven, and they are in every church, but very few ever bring up the topic of hell. And I'm reminded of an old story Leonard Ravenhill wrote about an English criminal, Charlie Peace. When England still executed prisoners, Charlie Peace was on death row in Armley Prison in Leeds, Yorkshire, England. And on the morning of his execution, a prison chaplain was reading to him a passage of scripture, and it happened to be a little bit about heaven and a little bit about hell. And Charlie Peace, the hardened criminal, he turned to the indifferent chaplain, and he said, Sir, if I believed what you in the Church of England say you believe about heaven and hell, even if England were covered with broken glass from coast to coast, I would walk over it if need be on my hands and knees to think it worthwhile living to just save one soul from an eternal hell like that." you got to go where the fish are. You got to know how they behave. And number three, you got to use a variety of strategies. There's lots of ways to catch a fish. Net, trout line, rod and reel. Good fishermen have a lot of different methods. When we think of evangelism, I always think of Billy Graham today, maybe Greg Laurie, and they get up and preach and they host these crusades. And I remember I went to see Billy Graham here in Fresno, I don't know how many years ago, and that was just a great emotional and spiritual moment for me personally. Drew was just a little fella. I took him with me, and I will never forget that. But when we think of Greg Laurie and the Harvest Crusades, how do they do that? Well, they're casting a gigantic net, and they're pretty good at it, and they have a way of reaching hundreds and even thousands of people. And sometimes that's intimidating. We think, well, I could never do that. So then our next step is, if I couldn't do that, then I'm not an evangelist. I have no business in this outreach kind of concept. That's just not for me. And folks, that's just not true. There's all kinds of ways to catch fish, and that's just one way. I remember as a little child, I've been talking for the whole week about it. I don't know if it's actually happened or it's just in my brain that I imagined happening, but I believe when I was about 3 years of age, I have this little snapshot of a memory that I had this plastic fishing pole, and my family, we were out there on the creek bank, and they were all fishing and doing all kinds of stuff, and they put on the end of this fishing pole a little fish. I don't know how they did it, and I just remember looking down and wondering, how did this happen? And they all tried to make it seem like I caught a fish, and I can't verify that. I can't remember that far back, and I would ask my parents, but their memory's worse than mine at this stage, and so I don't know who to verify that with, but I believe that happened. They wanted me to get the feel, and as a kid, I used to fish. This is probably a year after that. This is in May of 69. I'm at the Twin Lakes in Wichita, and I caught those fish, and I'm wearing a burnt orange shirt. I don't know what's worse, but Dewey Hoy, by the way, that's his boat. He lived on that lake. He went to our church on the other side of town, but that's his boat. And so just for the record, when I first came out here in 1995, there was an old man and his wife sitting in the back of the church when we were in the other building. And you know who it was traveling through California? It was Dewey Hoy. And I could not believe that he was in our church. Anyway, there are a lot of different ways to catch fish. I grew up, I kind of miss, one of the things I'm not a big fan of California is that, not just all the taxes and the Governor Brown, but the, did I say that? I'm sorry. No, this is not a political deal. I enjoy paying 78% tax. I got to preach this sermon again, man. I'll get it right next time. I remember going to great large lakes as a kid. My dad was a fisherman, and this is a picture of my dad. This is a catfish, and they cut me out of the picture. I'm standing just to the left of him. I don't know why they cut me out of that picture, but there's a picture of both of us with that fish. I remember coming into our house and seeing these fish in our bathtub, and my mom would be so mad. But I grew up going to big lakes and the Table Rock in Missouri as a kid, the Lake of the Ozarks. I've been there a half dozen times. That's the most beautiful place, body of water, I've ever been to in my life. Stockton Lake near Arcola, Missouri. It is huge, huge, huge. Lake Texoma on the border of Texas and Oklahoma. The Homa part's a lot better than the Texas part, but let me just tell you. My wife lived in Grove, Oklahoma, and that little city is literally on the lake called Grand Lake. And you think, oh, cute, cute little lake. Listen, Grand Lake is not even the biggest lake there, but it's 47,000 surface acres of water. It's 1,300 miles of shoreline. 1,300 miles of shoreline. I got here and somebody said, let's go out to the lake, and took me out to Millerton. I was like, what's it, what, are we gonna swim across and back for lunch? I don't. All I wanna tell you is that with all the different bodies of water, streams, rivers, lakes, even oceans, there's a lot of different ways to catch a fish. I've seen folks spear fish. I've seen folks noodle. They call that noodle when you try to catch a fish with your bare hands. That's happening all over the country, all over the world today. I've seen folks use a cane pole, and you can't beat that with a stick. There are no two people alike. There's no single approach of sharing your faith. Everyone is different. You can use all kinds of approaches. In fact, the same strategy will probably not work on everyone. That's why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9, I've become all things to all men. He wasn't saying, hey, I'm the biggest phony that ever lived. I'm a chameleon. I just turn into any. What he was saying was, so that by all possible means, I might save some. I talk this way to the Jews. I talk this way to the Gentiles. I talk this way to the people on the streets. And I talk this way to the wise philosophers. I do just about anything for the chance of reaching one. And over these last 4 weeks, we've been asking you to think. Get alone. Get with God. Maybe write down on a piece of paper somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ. And begin to pray for that person. Begin to pray for that person and pray for him by name. And then maybe somehow you could get the courage up to invite that person to your house for a meal or to church. And we've been asking you to consider inviting them to our 60th anniversary, which is coming up October 13th and 14th. We have a guest preacher coming in, Jeff Walling, who's a great communicator. He's going to share the gospel. We're going to have a party that whole weekend. But folks, the party's really not for you. It's really not for us. Now, you will have a good time. You show up, we're going to have food trucks, we're going to give away t-shirts and license plate frames, and we're going to do a lot of stuff. We got stuff for all the kids. It's going to be fun. But you really have a good time if you bring someone with you. It will change the whole atmosphere of your weekend. We're asking you to bring somebody to the party. We don't want to, on our anniversary, to look back at all the things we've done and make it about us. We want to look forward. We want to make it about God, and we want to make it about those who do not yet know Him. So that's what we're asking you to do. You say, preacher, I don't know anybody. I'm intimidated. I don't have those gifts. I don't have that experience. I don't know how to use different bait on people. I don't know any of that. Okay. If that's where you're really telling me where you are, then I get it. I'm not against you. I'm pulling for you. But I would just ask you, if you can't do any of that, then the one thing you can do, you can pray. And you can pray for one. That one degree is going to make a difference in somebody's eternity. I promise you. Quickly, number four, fishermen expect to catch fish. You've heard this old funny story about Jerry Clower used to tell about Claude Ledbetter in Mississippi, who was catching a boatload of fish when nobody else was. And finally, the state game warden decided to ride out there with Claude to investigate his fishing methods. And after arriving at the lake, Claude reached under his seat and pulled out a long stick of dynamite, lit it, tossed it in the water, kaboom, dead fish everywhere. With a large net, he gathered all the fish. The game warden was looking at this. He was so furious. He said, Claude, you are in big trouble. Don't you know that's illegal? I'm going to have to arrest you. You cannot fish with dynamite. Old Claude didn't say a word. He just lit another stick of dynamite. He put it in the game warden's hand. And as the fuse began to sizzle, he said, "Game warden, you going to talk or you going to fish?" Maybe not the best method. But fishermen expect to catch fish even if they don't. Here's a little parallel track with me. It takes, I want to give it to fishermen. It takes faith to fish. I believe that. You're out there, you can't, out here, you can't see beneath the water about that far. It takes faith to believe you're going to throw something out there, that you've chosen the right bait, that you're in the right spot, and something's going to bite on that, and you're going to reel in a great fish. And I mean, that takes a little faith. Even with your skill, that takes faith. And I'm telling you, it takes faith to share your story and your faith with others. The faith isn't in yourself. It's not in your skill. It's not in the person who needs to hear it. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe that he can help you. Somebody was telling me about a little issue they're having, and they're trying, and it's not working, and I just reminded them, look, he's with you. He's there. You gotta remember that. May not go the way you think it should, or you think it should go different. I'm telling you, don't ever forget. You got to have a little confidence because he's there. This is what he wants you to do. He doesn't really want you to do anything else. Remember, that's why you're here. That's the only reason you're left here, is to share your faith. One time in Matthew chapter 9, there were two blind guys. They came to Jesus, and they said, "Lord, could you do something? You know, we're blind," and they'd been in on some of this miracle stuff, and they wanted to see. Could you help us see? And Jesus asked them this question: "Do you believe I can help you see? You think I can do a 1, 2, 3 presto, and you're going to have vision?" And they said, "Yes, we do." And he healed them. And they left with all the sight that they needed. And Jesus said, "According to your faith, you have been made whole." He said that several times. So you're out there and you're scared to death to throw that little line out there. You got to remember he's with you. And you got to have a little faith that he knows what he's doing and he can help you. He can take a little and turn it into a lot. Number 5, good fishermen are patient even if they don't catch fish immediately. I want to show you this quick picture. One of our outings, our Guides Golf Getaways, we were at Pismo and I went up there and grabbed somebody's pole and said, "Somebody take a picture," and they did, and I gave the pole right back and I went to do whatever I wanted to do, because I'm not a good fisherman. I may have been as a kid, but I'm not anymore. Why? Because I'm not very, this is going to be a surprise, I'm not very patient. I want to see what's on SportsCenter. I don't want to sit at the end of the pier. I want to talk to people. I want to do something. I don't want to fish. I don't have 30 minutes to invest into this. Listen, it takes patience to land the big fish. Real patience. It's not just a virtue. It's a necessity. Jesus said this, listen to me before we close. Jesus said, "Follow me," and listen to what he said. This is very, very careful. "I will really, really super encourage you to get out there and be a fisherman." No, you follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What? He's saying this. If you are truly following me, you are going to catch fish. May not happen today, may not happen tomorrow. You just hang in there and be patient. I'm telling you, there aren't many fish. As you're going down the river, that are just going to jump. I know it's happened. We've seen it on YouTube. Thanks, YouTube. That are just going to jump into your boat. That's a rarity. Like I said, people aren't out there going, hey, let me in. We got to get into the church, man. We've been driving by this place for years, and it just dawned on us. We have got to get in there while there's time. That doesn't happen. That just doesn't happen. If they're going to get in here, you got to go get them. And if you're going to go get them, it's going to take patience, strategy, effort, prayer, patience. Man, fish are easily spooked. They're trying to get away. You know where they're at. You say, where are they? They're in the water. Where's the water? The water's everywhere around you. The world is 8/10 water. Your school is just one big body of water. Your neighborhood is one big body of water. Where you work, it's a gigantic body of water. There's fish everywhere. How are you going to get them? Well, I would say pray. I would say think like a fish. I would say be smart. I would say engage. I would say be kind. I would say strategize. But you got to be patient too. Let me ask you a question. If you've never gone, now I asked this last night and people were, they didn't want to raise their hands, but let's just do it. Don't be embarrassed. How many have never gone out in a boat and got on a fishing pole and put a worm on it and cast it in the water and spent quality time? How many have never done that? Let me see your hands. Thank you for your honesty. That's fine. That is wonderful. That's awesome. I appreciate that. Now let me ask you, the same people who raised your hands, how many of you have ever caught a fish? The same people that raised their hands, not all the people that went fishing. You say, preacher, that's a dumb question, because if you've never gone fishing, you're not going to catch a fish. That's exactly my point. You ever led a person to Christ? That's one question. Can I give you a much better question? How many of you have ever initiated with somebody who doesn't know Christ a spiritual conversation? You've just, on your own, in some setting, you decided to bring up something spiritual with them and have a spirit. Now that's the question. I believe when we get to heaven, I just believe God is not going to ask us, you know, all right, how many fish did you catch? I don't believe that. But I wouldn't be surprised if he did ask us. How much effort did you put in? How many times did you go fishing? You know, when a fisherman comes home empty-handed and the wife says, where you been? He still says, I went fishing. Because he did go fishing. Even if you catch nothing, he went fishing. I believe fishing is a process. Some plant, some water, some bring in the harvest. But it's a process, and you've got to be patient. I think God's going to ask us, how many times did you try? How many times did you share your faith? That's our job. If anyone accepts Christ or not, that's not in our hands. The results are up to God. But how many times did you try? How many times did you share? How many times did you encourage? How many times did you pray for someone? That's what he's called us to do. I'm not worried about the tally. I'm not worried about what's in my net. When I get there, oh, one, two, three. I got 14. That doesn't matter. What matters is, are you a part of the process? And if you're like, I'm intimidated, I don't know any of this stuff. Listen, we've got an enemy who's trying to put that within us. He's trying to convince you that you could never fish. Are you kidding? Leave that to the experts. Leave that to Billy Graham and Greg Laurie. You're not a fisherman. Jesus said, you follow me and I'll make you fishermen. And I you know, sometimes when you turn scripture around, it's pretty, I don't know, it's intense. But I think if we read that the other way, really, if you're not fishing, you're not following Jesus. If you're not in the process, you're not praying for anybody, you're not trying to even look for somebody, you're not encouraged. How are you following Jesus? Jesus said, if you follow me, I'm making you a fisher of men. You'll be a part of the process. You may not be Billy Graham, but you're going to be out there. You're going to catch some fish. Eternity will reveal that prayer for one was a whole lot more than you thought. We're going to stand, we're going to sing. If you're here today and you want to make a decision to follow Christ, we'd love for you to step forward. We'd love for you to come down here and say, I have decided to follow Jesus. We had four just do it last night. If you have any other decision on your heart, you want to join the church or you want to have somebody to pray with or talk to, just step down here. Let's sing together this chorus.